Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets, and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that'll pinch you no matter what color you're wearing. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're tracking the route of NYC's St. Patrick's Day Parade, including the cathartic role it played for Irish-American immigrants. The day was March 17th, 1762. One of New York City's oldest traditions began when the first St. Patrick's Day Parade was held in Lower Manhattan. The United States was not yet the United States at the time, with the signing of the Declaration of Independence still a good 14 years away. Instead, the parade was organized by a group of homesick Irish soldiers serving in the British Army. In the century ahead, the event grew larger and larger as more Irish immigrants came to New York. Eventually, the annual show of Irish pride was adopted by other U.S. cities, and later, by countries around the world. St. Patrick, the ostensible focus of the parade, was a Christian missionary born in Britain in the late 4th century AD. After being ordained as a bishop, he traveled to Ireland in the year 433 and spent the next 3 decades teaching, preaching, and building churches around the country. He passed away on March 17, 461, and although he was never officially canonized by the church, by the 7th century he was venerated by many as the patron saint of Ireland. That designation became more or less official in the 1630s, when the day of his death, March 17th, was added to the Catholic breviary as the Feast of St. Patrick. By that point, all kinds of legends had sprang up about St. Patrick. For instance, he's said to have driven all the snakes out of Ireland, and he supposedly liked to use a 3-leaf clover, or shamrock, to illustrate the Holy Trinity. No word on how Patrick explained 4-leaf clovers, but I'm guessing he wasn't a fan. They just raised too many questions. But despite the colorful lore surrounding St. Patrick, his big day was treated much like any other religious holiday in Ireland. Churchgoers would attend a special mass service in the morning, and then have a small celebration with food and drink later in the day. The local pubs weren't even open. There was no citywide party and certainly no parade. In fact, for nearly 150 years, St. Patrick's Day parades were a strictly American affair. The first one in New York City took place on March 17, 1762. The proceedings began at dawn with a performance by a fife and drum corps made up of Irish soldiers within the British Army. These military members then joined other Irish expats in marching through Bowling Green in Lower Manhattan, singing Irish folk songs as they went. The stated reason for the parade was, of course, to honor St. Patrick. But there was more going on than just reverence for a patron saint. The Irish residents of New York City, those who had been stationed there by the British, and those who had fled there from Ireland of their own accord, were homesick. They weren't longing simply for a different place, but for the Ireland of a different time. In the 18th century, British authorities had tightened their grip on the island, even going so far as to ban outward displays of Irish national pride. Something as innocuous as the wearing of green ribbons or handkerchiefs was suddenly ill-advised, lest it be interpreted as an emblem of affection for Ireland. So in many ways, the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York City was a return to normalcy for its Irish community, a chance to reclaim their identity and to celebrate it openly, without fear of government reprisal. And yes, the festivities that first year did include a bit of drinking in the evening, but nothing compared to what you might see today. It was still a religious holiday, after all. Irish military units in New York continued organizing the annual parade for many of its early years. Following the War of 1812, the duties of hosting the event were passed to various Irish community groups in the city. In the early 1800s, processions set out from different parish churches throughout the city and marched to the original St. Patrick's Cathedral on Mott Street. However, by the end of the century, the parade route was adjusted to follow Fifth Avenue up past St. Patrick's Cathedral, just as it does today. Any listeners from Boston have probably been stewing this entire episode because that city has long maintained that it, and not New York, was the birthplace of St. Patrick's Day as we know it. Boston held its own celebration of Irish solidarity on March 17, 1737. But a community festival isn't the same as a parade. But don't worry, Bostonites, New York City doesn't get credit for the first parade either. In reality, records show that the earliest known St. Patrick's Day parade was actually held in what is now St. Augustine, Florida. It took place on March 17, 1601, in a Spanish colony that happened to have an Irish priest, a man named Ricardo Arturo. Technicalities like that aside, many New Yorkers will tell you that their parade was the one that led St. Patrick's Day to become the worldwide celebration it is today. But whether you consider St. Augustine, Boston, or New York City to be the true starting point of St. Patrick's Day parades, one thing we can all agree on is that it definitely wasn't Ireland. In fact, all three of those US cities were at least 150 years ahead of the Irish homeland, which didn't hold its first parade in Waterford until 1903. Talk about being late to your own party. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully you now know a little more about St. Patrick's Day history today than you did yesterday. If you enjoyed today's show, why not follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. You could also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or you could write to us at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Heck, you could even do all of the above. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thank you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets, and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.